72.
Yes.
Can I give it back to Kenneth?
No, he can't. That can't be a challenge. I mean, it's lewd.
You repeated 72. And I'm afraid Clement is right, so it has to take...
I hadn't even started the subject. What are you talking about? We're allowed. You're allowed to get out of the way.
You took nine seconds to establish the date and you still haven't got it right. So, Clement, unless you want Kenneth to continue...
I'd like Kenneth to continue.
Right, that's very generous of you. So, Kenneth, with Clement's generosity, you continue with 51 seconds on the Marie Celeste, starting now.
In 1780...
I wouldn't like Kenneth to continue, and it is repetition.
It's repetition.
I haven't started. You keep on... You see, what you've done, you flummox people, and you get them into such a state that instead of being able to do their job properly, you just succeed in making nervous wrecks out of them. I mean, if you want me to be reduced to this gibbering idiot, if that's what you want, if you want to sit looking at a gibbering idiot...
Well, I have done for 16 years.
Kenneth, that is one of the ploys of the game. That's what they try to do to me all the time. That's why I am as I am sometimes. It's my excuse anyway.
Now, look, give me the subject.
I'm going to say, as Clement was generous to you, now Derek can be generous to you, and there are 50 seconds for you to continue on the Marie Celeste, starting now.
The Marie Celeste was a brigantine, and she was found twixt the Azores and Portugal with all sails full set, but the crew mysteriously vanished, and they had taken the sextant, the ship's register, and gone into a void which has never to this day been properly explained. The poet said, the girls, the wives, the watched in the rain for the ship that won't come home again. It must be them Edwins, they say. He'll be home tomorrow, if not today. And home they go by the windy streets, thinking the men are homeward bound, with anchors hungry for English ground. And the bloody fun of it is they're drowned.
I'm sorry, before you got that last lovely bit with the accent, Clement had challenged you. What was it, Clement?
Repetition of ship.
Yes, you did repeat the word
well,
ship.
No good anywhere. You don't want to hear him anyway. You don't want to hear him anyway.
Well, I did hear you quite a lot on that subject. You did go for nearly 48 seconds. Clement has 12 seconds to talk about the Marie Celeste, starting now.
I would like to say that rumors that the STP were the crew of the Marie Celeste are totally unfounded. In 1782, on the high seas...
So Clement Roy kept going then to the whistle end, gained that extra point, and Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, picnics. Can you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Picnic is a term given to open-air food, a sort of French déjeuner sur herbe. But also colloquially, a picnic is doing something very simple, like mugging Kenneth Williams. Anybody could go along and perform an art or act of that kind without stressing themselves greatly. I would like to talk about picnic and food, which is why I suspect that Ian Messiter gave me the subject. Sandwiches are excellent. So is lemonade, tea, milk, coffee, especially with sugar and iced, would be particularly welcome if I were to go on this picnic. I take my family quite frequently to the sands at Dunwich, which is in Suffolk, a city which once had three members of Parliament, then became a rotten borough, and we...
Derek Nimmerchild.
He's gone into a party political broadcast. He thought he should be talking about picnics.
Yeah, he has deviated from picnics into talking about the borough of Suffolk, and so I agree with the deviation. There are 14 seconds left for you, Derek. Picnics starting now.
In Australia, the term picnics means going to the racing. I went to one once, 150 miles east of Alice Springs in the Harts Range, and the only permanent building there was the jail. And at lunchtime, there were about seven people, and I ran to the people around the joint.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid so. He got the subject back again, and he got the second. Only half a second left, Clement, on picnic, starting now.
Donuts.
Well, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, but Derek Nimmo's still in the lead, and it is also his turn to begin. And the subject, Derek, is getting abroad for the holidays. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Well, of course, as one gets older, it's very difficult to get abroad for the holidays. What I usually do is place an advertisement in Time Out, or Private Eye, saying, youngish, Anglo-Saxon male, reasonably well preserved, requires Broad to accompany him on his holidays. Please send photograph with dimensions to a box number, which I generally provide. And I get perhaps one or maybe three replies. I sort through them and think, that's the Broad that I want to go with me. And then off we go, passports in hand, across on the Channel Ferry, or if things are fairly happy, a bit of cash in hand, on the Orient Express. And then in Venice, we get out, and my Broad and I rush across the sands.
John Badley, challenged.
I seem to have heard Broad many times.
Yes, you see, actually, John, you are allowed to repeat the word on the card, but the word is abroad on the card.
That's right.
And you've repeated the word Broad, so that's a good challenge, John. Well done. And you take over the subject. And there are 19 seconds left for getting abroad for the holidays starting
in
a month.
May I just ask, yes, as this is a game which we have to listen to, how do I know that it's getting abroad or getting abroad? You say getting abroad for the holidays. The indefinite article could indeed be on the card, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, on the card, it's abroad.
Well, we don't know that, do we?
Yes.
As you just pointed out to us, we have to listen to
you. Didn't actually ask.
You
didn't ask. I'm telling you now. On the card is abroad, all as one word, and you repeat the word broad. So John was correct. And he takes over the subject, as I said before.
He's not correct.
Don't challenge the chairman. How dare you? What do you think would
be? Don't challenge the chairman. They have a season
to do it.
What do you think?
John, you have got the subject, and you have 19 seconds getting abroad for the holidays, starting now.
I think it can be very difficult these days, getting abroad for the holidays.
Clement Freud challenged.
Tisson is getting easier and easier.
No, you've got to let me finish and tell you why.
He has
to. Sure,
yes,
you
he
have
hasn't
no idea what I'm going to
why.
Say.
So he's allowed to have his opinion, even if it doesn't coincide with anybody else. So that's his opinion, and he expressed it on the subject, and there are 15 seconds left for him to continue, starting now.
Because only today I had to go along and collect my tickets to go away to Tenerife this coming weekend, and the reason being that there is a postal strike, and they said, we're very sorry, but we haven't got your tickets, so they had to write out a...
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of tickets.
Yes, I'm afraid when you start speeding up, then the words come back more quickly, and it happened with you. You tripped up. 6 seconds are left for Clement on getting abroad for the holidays, starting now.
I did once put an advertisement into Time Out, and they said, I'm sorry.
And Derek Miller.
I think that was a hesitation.
It definitely was a hesitation.
Who got it?
Yes,
who got it?
Who got it? Derek's light came on when he pressed. You may have all pressed your buzzers, but the first one... as light comes on in front of me, tells me who has it, and it was Derek with 1.5 seconds on the subject, starting now.
Going to France is always very nice.
So, Derek's moving into a very strong lead here. Clement Freud still in second place, and then John Badley, and then Kenneth Williams in that order. And John Badley, your turn to begin. The subject, avoiding crocodiles. Will you tell us something about that, if you can, in the game, starting now?
I think this is something that concerns every man, woman and child in this country, avoiding crocodiles. Indeed, everybody throughout the world. They have really got to avoid crocodiles at all costs. Because you can be going down any high street any day of the week and you can see a crocodile coming towards you. I mean, if you're in a school, for example, by part-time I am a headmaster, as you well know, and I see this every day, boys going two by two, making their way from the...
Derek Nimmo Charles.
2x2, repetition.
2x2.
That's a phrase. No, that, I mean, that 2x2 is a phrase.
But you repeated the word two.
Oh, yes, going back to 1882 again, yes. 72. It's the same thing.
Yes. So, Derek, you have 36 seconds on avoiding crocodiles, starting now.
I first had to avoid a crocodile was when I went to Sisluwe, which is in South Africa. We had a frightfully good Zulu guide who took us down to the bottom of this river basin, and there, hidden amongst the foliage, was a crocodile. Now, he had with him a very large rifle, and he shot it off with a tremendous bang, and fortunately for me, the crocodile scurried back into the water.
Clement Freud charge.
Deviation.
Why?
You can't shoot after a bang. You shoot before the bang.
Oh, that's a very clever challenge, yes. After the bang, he shot. He did say that, didn't he? Well done.
No, after the bang, the crocodile shot into the water. Listen, you fool. He'd twist you round his little finger, he does. Just as he was
well,
in
prefect.
You
all tried to twist me round the little finger. I must say, I didn't pick it up. I do admit, I did not pick up that particular point. Is that what you said?
No. Of course it's what I said.
Is that what he said?
Yes!
You said no. You see, they're divided. Right, Derek, then you continue, and avoiding crocodiles, 15 seconds, starting now.
If you're a handbag maker, then of course you shouldn't avoid them, but if you can get hold of one, they're very nice.
Clement Freud.
Oh, if you twice.
Yes, yes, it was all right. Clemens, you now have 10 seconds.
We're playing a mean game now, are we?
He's playing a mean game, yes, because he didn't get the other challenge. 10 seconds, avoiding crocodiles, starting now.
My advice to anyone who wants to avoid crocodiles is to stick to Park Lane, Piccadilly, Regent Street and Oxford Street.
And Derek Nimmo challenge.
Two streets.
Two streets. Oxford Street and Regent Street. 2 seconds for you avoiding crocodiles, Derek, starting now.
Don't go through long grass where the...
Well, Derek Nimmo really is on form today. He's obviously, all his adrenaline is pumping away because he's now taken one of the biggest leads that's ever been established in just a minute. Derek, the dirty tricks is the subject. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I think the dirtiest trick that was ever played upon me happened because I was in a show with Mr. Jerry Marsden of pacemaker fame. It was called Charlie Girl at the Adelphi Theatre in the Strand. One night, he welcomed into his dressing room an elderly theatrical critic who was rather crippled and maimed. When the aforementioned pop star went onto the stage, this old man started to berate him and say quite horrid things about my dear chum. So when he emerged back to me again, I told him what had happened. I said, this foul beast of a cripple has said dreadful things about you.
John Badly Challenge.
Is that not a repetition of the word cripple?
No, he said crippled before, you see.
I see.
One has to listen awfully carefully.
And very
one
careful.
Has to be fair, yes. But it's lovely to hear from you, John.
Thank you very much. I just want to make sure I
can. Right.
It is a difficult game, but well listened. Derek, you continue on Dirty Tricks with 20 seconds left, starting now.
Whereupon my Liverpudlian chum says, you dirty bouncer, you rotten swine, and grabbed hold of his walking stick and started to hit him on his hump several times, kicked him in the stomach, threw him to the ground. The man was sobbing and howling by this time. I eventually tore him apart.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
He's talking about a single trick.
Well, yes, it might have been a single trick. It was a very good example of dirty tricks.
Oh, really? It's not dirty tricks, is it?
Well, he hasn't got to mention half a dozen tricks on the subject in order to establish it. Dirty tricks. He's giving a fine example of a dirty trick, if it's true or not. It's getting a bit over the top at the moment, but we've got to believe him, otherwise the whole game falls apart, doesn't it? There are 4.5 seconds still with you, Derek, on dirty tricks, starting now.
And the dirty trick was because the fellow was an actor made up to look like an old fellow, and he wasn't a real one at all.
So, as you might have guessed, Derek Nimmo has increased his lead considerably in that round. And John Badly, our guest, begins the next round. John, the subject that EMS has thought of for you is unsolicited mail. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
There's nothing I like more than waking up first thing in the morning to hear the sound of the latch on the garden gate, the crunch of footsteps coming up the garden path, the letterbox rattling to hear a thud inside the door on the mat, to go down the landing, descend the stairs, and there is the correspondence of the day waiting for me. To have that friends, relatives, and loved ones sending you greetings. But the thing I regret most of all is to see unsolicited mail. What is that? Legally speaking, it appears, it is something that you have not asked for. For example, this could be, well, income tax. Or maybe central heating experts. Or double glazing manufacturers. And only the other...
Derek Nimmo,
Hesitation.
Well,
yes.
Very slight.
Very. I've been asked.
I mean, I hardly know.
He complains about me not speaking, and then what did he do?
It was actually hesitation, but he's never played the game before.
He's a guest, Nick.
John.
Yes?
In my position as chairman, who have to make the decision, I consider that while it was an accurate challenge, I'm going to let you have the benefit of the doubt. You get a point for an incorrect challenge, and you continue with unsolicited mail. And there are 17 seconds left, starting now.
So I opened this letter, and it said, would you like to be more alluring for the man in your life?
Kenneth himself.
The diction's appalling. I said, Neil, would you like to be who?
More alluring, I think.
Who's she?
I don't know.
She's a harvest. Alluring?
You were on my side 2 minutes ago. Now what
really,
do you
I mean, well, I can't get wild when I can't understand something.
Oh, but this is what happens in just a minute. One
Absolutely.
Minute they're with you, the next minute they're against you. So, but who is this morning, Laurie? Morning Glory.
I understood.
You understood.
Thank
you. More alluring.
That's the word.
Oh, oh. Thank you, Pa.
You know, you could make quite a good living doing voiceovers, I think. More alluring. Did you get it now in the audience? What was it? I'm glad we've established that.
Yeah, right. Sorry.
So, there are 11 seconds for you to continue on unsolicited mail, John, starting now.
Wear something flimsy tonight, it said. I was outraged. How dare they? So I cast that into the waste paper basket. As I was doing so, the front doorbell rang.
Derek Nimmerchild.
The front door.
You've had front door before, I'm afraid,
that's true.
John. Yes, this time I cannot give you any generosity, but leave it to Derek Nimmer with 2 seconds on unsolicited mail starting now.
I wander through Soho trying to be solicited.
Kenneth, your turn to begin. Billiards. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
The thing to do is to get hold of the cue and rub on this special chalk which comes as a cube and is sometimes blue but more often white. Then you get into a position which enables you to line up this bit of wood with a ball you've got your eye on in the sense of wanting to put it in a pocket, you see. Not your own pocket. Don't mistake.
Kevin Freud challenged.
Repetition of pocket.
I'm afraid you repeated pocket. I know one was a billiard table pocket and the other was your own, but it was the word. So Clement has billiards and 31 and a half seconds starting now.
What a wise man said about billiards was that you needed balls to play. And I think that's absolutely right, be they white or red. And even if it is snooker in which you wish to indulge, a billiard table is the very piece of hardware that you need. It has a green baize cloth stretched over slate with 8 legs. Now, it's a surprising number of pieces of wood to hold up something like a billiard board. But there it is, and that's the way that the cookie crumbles, as Joe Davis...
Well, it was really running out of steam on this subject, but kept going magnificently until the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he's creeping up in second place on Derek Nimmer, our leader, John Badley, and Kenneth Williams are trailing somewhat, and Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, boar's head. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
It is a very odd thing that the more patriotic food is, the more disgusting it is. And I've said boar twice, and why Derek Nimmer hasn't challenged me.
Either he said it is more than once. He says ball.
Well, whatever it was, you've challenged, so you're going to get it. And you have 57 seconds on boar's head, starting now.
The bard William Shakespeare, of course, knew all about the boar's head. This is situated, and still is to this very day, in Eastcheap. It was there that Prince Hal, Sir John Falstaff, Nim, Bardolph, Poins, Gads Hill, and indeed, I'm the hostess...
Clement Freud challenged.
I thought hesitation.
I'm afraid he's right there, Clement, and you have the subject back, and you have 37 seconds. Boar's head, starting now.
What you do is you take the eyes, tongue, ears, brain, nostrils, lights, and such other pieces inside a boar's head, and mince...
Kenneth Williams,
child. Yes, no, no, lights inside a boar's head. Rubbish, such a crap, isn't it? What a load of rubbish you talk. Supposed to be a culinary expert.
Well, as far as I know, you're right.
Well,
I
mean, of course I'm right, and you do me a favour. Do me a favour, mate. Of course I'm right. Oh, are you kidding? Yes.
You're looking like a butcher right now,
that's
the
right.
Way you're working.
I get the subject,
yes,
right?
Yes, you. 25 seconds, boar's head, starting now.
I rang up the butcher and I said, do you have a boar's head? And he said, I've had it all my life, which I thought was pretty witty coming from a merchant in that particular field. But they are hunted, and we do see them in the medieval tapestries, those old boar's heads. And how fine they look when they're decorating the table, especially if they're surrounded by stuffed olives, the nightingales, and you think of those Elizabethan banquets. What a time they must have had.
So Kenneth Williams kept going magnificently with his boar's head until the end, gained the extra point, and he's still in fourth place. just behind John Badley, a little bit behind Clement Freud, and way behind Derek Nimmo, our leader, who begins the next round, and the subject, nepotism. Derek, tell us something about that, please, in the game, starting now.
Well, nepotism is the ability, or the aim, I suppose it would be, really, to give assistance to relations. It comes from an Italian word, nepot, which means nephew, and grew up in the papal courts, I want to say. In fact, I do. Where they had to give the influence, the good jobs, because they couldn't have any children, you see, because they were Catholics and priests and so on. So they had to give the next kin.
Clement Freud challenge.
I think Derek ought to declare an interest.
Because of the many...
He employs his wife and all his children and everybody else he knows.
For those of you who don't get the meaning of that, Derek has played in many programs, comedy programs, in which he's played a brother, and he's played a vicar, and he's played other characters connected with the church. I thought you were going to challenge on the fact that the priests didn't have any children, but he said they weren't able to have any children. So anyway, you didn't, so Derek, you get a point for that, because it wasn't an accurate challenge. Nepotism still with you, and there are 37 seconds left starting now.
Jobs for the boys, that's the idea of it, you see. If you've got something that you can't find anybody worthwhile, bring in a relation. They're the ones that'll do it for you, much cheaper than anybody else.
Deviation, he said bring in a relation. I don't think he wants a relation, I think he means a relative.
Oh, you're being terribly vanilla. You're right, but I mean, this people do use the word in that sense.
They do indeed. The language is littered with such solecisms.
I think we'll give you a bonus point for that round of applause, because your remark gained that spontaneous reaction of the audience. But as we do speak colloquially in just a minute, as we couldn't keep going otherwise, Derek keeps the subject with 28 seconds left, starting now.
One of the earlier director generals of the BBC loved men with spunk.
Clement Freud, chum.
Repetition of B.
Oh, that's ridiculous. No, that is just huge.
No, BBC. I think it's a clever challenge.
A very good challenge.
It's a title. You can't possibly say that's repetition. It's ludicrous.
Well, then he should have said the British Broadcasting Corporation.
Rubbish. We've all the BBC. I mean, none of us is going to be accused of repetition if we say the BBC. You might as well say, oh, so-and-so is repetition. It's not. It's an accepted word.
It isn't. It's hyphenated, so-and-so is. So we can do it.
Accepted like ha-ha. These are accepted.
No,
H-A means the sunken ditch, and you know it.
He repeated the word B, and I thought it was a very
good... You're going to make nonsense of the game if you allow that kind of rubbish.
The game is nonsense anyway. I think it was a very good challenge. No, BBC, and
Isn't that good a challenge?
He spotted it. And Clement, you have 24 seconds. Nepotism starting now.
Well, I said to my wife, it really is time we sacked our daughter from being a director of the company. And she answered, do you think one of our children or your cousin Egbert would be more suitable? Never mind, as long as it remains in the family, was the only answer I could give her, because nepotism is the single most important way of finding jobs for the people to whom you're related.
Clements in second place, gaining more points all the time, creeping up on our leader Derek Nimmo, and John Badley begins the next round. John, the subject is croquet. Will you tell us something about that delightful subject in the game, starting now?
Well, I shall start by saying I don't want you to confuse croquet for one moment. It has nothing to do with potatoes. We are referring to a pastime which was created in France, I think, in the 18th century, and then came over about 150 years ago to this country, and it's played in stately homes, on the lawn, at the back, or in public schools. And it was made famous, of course, in Alice in Wonderland. You may remember the balls were hedgehogs, the mallets were flamingos, and the hoops were soldiers bent over head to toe. Now, the purpose of the game is you have two round objects and a stick in the centre, and you have to get the...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. They let you go on the game, John, but they got you on the hesitation, and there are 24 seconds on croquet, Derek, starting now.
July afternoon. The scene is the Hurlingham Club hard by the River Thames. Croquet lawn in full swing. Mallet hitting ball. Elderly clergymen, people from all over the world foregathering for the World Croquet Championship. This seems to me to be the height of civilized sportsmanship. Why can't we contain...
So that loud whistle of Ian Messer has not only told us that 60 Second was up for that round, and Derek Nimmo got the extra point for speaking at that moment, but also tells us that we've come to the end of the show for this week. We do hope you've enjoyed it, and let me give you the final scores. Kenneth Williams was equal with John Badley, our guest, in third place this week, a little way behind Clement Freud, who was in second place, and they were all a long way behind our leader, who was on tremendous form this week, none other than Derek Nimmo. Shouldn't say none other, really. I should say who else, but there we are. So Derek won the show this week, but it is whatever you all contribute to the game that matters, and we hope that you've enjoyed all their contributions, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time next week when we take the air and we try and play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin. Thank you.